You're listening to the Theology of Music podcast. Follow on YouTube and Instagram, support through buymeacoffee.com, and subscribe to the only podcast that unpacks the good and sometimes bad theology in the songs that we sing. Today, I am joined by another awesome, awesome guest. His name is Todd McVicker. He is a creative of creatives, you could say. He is... Here's the thing, guys. If you aren't members, you don't get to see the video. And this guy is stunning in his outfit. His outfit, his environment. He has a candle lit. And it's not one of those fake ones. It's a real candle lit up in the background, flickering to let me know that this is a safe place. One. And then he's wearing a jean jacket with a fedora, and he's one of the only people that actually pulls off the small fedora. Yes. This is a good man, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
You need to be a member so you can see this beautiful face. Obviously, you will, because I'll post clips on the Instagram, but you need to see him in all its glory. But let me welcome you, and then I'll give your bio. But welcome, Todd. It's good to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me, Joel. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, so obviously you said... I mean, your bio is great, but I think your thing you said was really good, too. And I'll read a little bit of the bio and then talk about what you said. But your bio says you're created with a heart for connecting people to God through authentic lyrics and diverse sound. Your music will amplify the way you experience worship, which I agree. Like, I really love how pointed and poignant a lot of your lyrics are, especially the new song, obviously, that we're going to be talking about, too. But you discovered your passion for music at an early age. I love that you're an Atlanta native and that you're still there. Because the ATL sound is so unique and so rich, and so I love that you're there. And it says your sound has the heart of the soul of the city woven throughout its every note. I think that's very true. Growing up, he was deeply influenced by harmonic R&B. Even Here Love Comes, I think I can hear it too. And since he's been shaped by many different genres to cultivate a vibe so reflective of his own unique style, right? And then... Obviously, like, I mean, you do worship music, so you're like a creative director or pastor at your church, Victory Church in Atlanta. But what I loved of what you said before the podcast was that you want to see creative flow from the church and not see it flow from the world into the church, right? So like us not being behind the eight ball of creative. And I know what you mean. It's not to be progressive for progressive sake, to like, oh, look at us. We're really making waves here in the church. But it's no, you know. We should influence. The church has always influenced the culture around us in the way that we view, obviously, people, and even the politics of the last 100 years have changed because of biblical values. And so I love that you're basically saying, let's just not just have this aspect of the church influence culture. Let's have creative influence the culture too, and let the culture see, hey, the church, like, it's a place to be because you don't only get Jesus. And you get acceptance through his blood shed on the cross. And then you get community that's real community. There's no goal in mind and ulterior motive. And then also you get to grow as a creative, right? Yes, I love that. When you said that, man, that was fantastic. So welcome, Todd. What a joy. Seriously, what a joy to have you, man.
It's good to be here. Yeah. There's one point in the world history where everything came from the church.
Right.
Like every song, every painting, every artistic expression. And I don't know what happened, but we are not that anymore. No one looks to the church for the next, you know, greatest artistic expression, unfortunately. Right. But I think that we have the corner on it. I mean, we are the people that understand that we are created by an infinite creative being in God. And if we believe theology, he lives on the inside of us. So why shouldn't we be the most creative, the most groundbreaking?
Right.
And we have a story that is ancient, right? That's been told millions and millions of times.
Right.
So what's the new way that we can tell that story for a new generation or to reconnect people that have been in the church for their whole life so they can see God in a different way?
Dude, I love that. It's really interesting because I know you. So you're a part of Victory Church. You're part of a really cool a church that's not like, it's not old school for any intents and purposes, right? Like, it's definitely a church that's up and coming and always on the knowing what the trend is. Or like, it's very obvious, right? But that's not a bad thing. But the sad thing is, and what you're saying is, if we're always having to find or have people know, hey, what's the latest trend, then we're always going to be behind, because eventually we're going to be still doing the trend when it's not the trend anymore. Why can't we be the ones setting the trends? And I think that's so true. And it, you know, many artists get wrapped up in being progressive as musicians, and oftentimes, mm-hmm. I mean, I was actually just talking to someone else today, another guy who's going to be on the podcast, who was in a band who toured, and he was talking about one of his favorite artists, Dustin Kentrew, and how a lot of those guys just were on the road for so long, and they were away from the local church, and they were away from the word, and what happened was the music and progressiveness in the music was what then became like their idol and what helped them. And so then they would always, they kind of pushed away from truth and they pushed more into music. But what you're saying is, no. The local church is where the Lord ministers, and the local church should also be where we push forth creativity. And I'm like, dude, yes. like you're not sitting here going, I want to travel the world and show people that you can be creative. I'm like, no, you haven't left ATL. You're still in Atlanta, and you're talking about being, showing the world that you can be creative and be a Christian at the same time, and it's not mutually exclusive. Like, bro, what?
And it starts too when you just sit down and ask the question, God, what are you trying to say? Like, so for instance, when we're coming up with like an Easter idea, we literally sit in a room, we pray, and we say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to illuminate from this story? It's hard to tell an Easter story fresh,
right,
you know, 10 years in a row. I mean, it's right. The same, nothing changes in the story. It's not like there's a new bad guy or something, you know, or one time Jesus doesn't win, you know, it's,
right, exactly.
It's literally the same. It's the same thing over and over again. But there's so many aspects to that story that, God, what are you trying to illuminate? And we take it from there and pull things out, and there's themes that happen, and it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. You
know, it's. I remember I was with Bob Coughlin one time, and he said, we will never run out of things to say about Jesus, and so we should never run out of things to say in songs for the church.
So good.
And he's right. Oh, so like, good. He's so true. I mean, how, you know, as an artist, right? Like, it's there's one thing to write a song that's a worship song for the church, and it's another thing to write just kind of like a song, right? Like a song that's spiritual, or it's a Christian song. Because a Christian song, it can feel a little easier because it's like, well, it's personal, and so it's easier to just kind of write. Like, this is from my perspective. A worship song, it's like, well, they've already said it like that. And then they've used, like, what other water language and mountain language, and, like, how many times am I going to repeat the same saying, right?
Uh-huh. You know?
But, I even just kind of thinking to your song, even here love comes, which, once again, love the story behind it, and love that you and I actually can share, like, a very similar understanding of the song and where it comes from. But, like, I love how you start with, there's no way out, hope has taken its final bow, so I'm leaving a distance between me and dreaming, how far will love go? Like, the tension that we live in this side of eternity is never going to go away, right?
It's never,
You know, there is the and I love that when I was listening to it, and even just reading the words again now, it's like, yeah, it's, how often do we feel that tension? And so, obviously, you can talk about this song, it's up, you know, the floor is yours to talk about it. But, you know, we talked about before, you've talked about it a lot in interviews and stuff, but what's something else about this song that you haven't gotten to say that you want to say?
Well, I mean, first of all, the song is the most special song I think I've ever written. It came about because of a mission trip that actually absolutely just changed the course of my life, like 100%. I don't say that with any like guile or anything. It really did. I got invited to do a missions trip in the Philippines. Long story short, our daughter graduated high school and did a gap year program with an organization called Adventures in Missions. And in the middle of that trip, she was gone for 9 months, went all around the world. In the middle of that trip, they invited us to come to spend a week with her in the Philippines. Had zero desire to go to Southeast Asia, didn't know anything about Filipino culture. Like, just, I was like, okay, whatever. You know, we're going to go see her. And I've done missions before, so, you know, I thought, you know, we'll build some houses or, you know, feeding programs.
Yeah,
you know, you're kind of typical short-term mission stuff, and all that stuff is fine and good. But we, you know, we get there, and they're like, all right, we're going to go into these bars and help rescue girls from sex trafficking. And you're like, we're going to do what now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do that, you know? So basically, the first night we're in these bars, I mean, they're barely any clothes on, these girls on stage, they're dancing, they have numbers on them, They're like cattle, and everything inside of me as a Christian is telling me you shouldn't be in this environment. You know, like, you know, guys with guys, girls with girls. Like, I go way back to like youth group stuff. Like,
no purple.
You shouldn't be looking at this. Right. And I think, you know, the thing that I realized later on is I was terrified that I would be aroused by these girls and didn't know that I could process that as a Christian man and someone that loves Jesus, and my wife is with me and my daughter's there. And like, you know, what does that mean about me? You know, all these things. So completely useless, head down, just kind of praying to myself. And the next morning I get up and I'm just kind of having some time with the Lord. And I just said, "Hey, God, you've got to get me out of this. Like, I made a mistake. I shouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah." And just real sweetly, the Lord said, "Hey, you've kind of made this about you, but this is an opportunity for you to see these girls the way that I see them." Yeah. And it just, oh my God. I mean, that, like, the veil came off. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh man. So I went back the next day and I was able to like look at them, have conversations with them. And I got hooked, man. So I took a team back a couple of months later from our church. And, you know, we're going, what I love about the ministry that we work with, it's called Wipe Every Tear. Look them up, wipeeverytear.org. It's very low pressure. So you go in, you don't preach at them. You don't like try to get them saved. You go in, you have conversations with them, with these girls, and you go, "Hey, if you don't want to be here, this organization provides housing, food, pays for them to go to college, which breaks the poverty cycle."
Right. Yeah.
That's the number one issue in the Philippines. Yeah. It's just, there's just so many people, so little jobs. You need a college degree to work at McDonald's. And that's not a joke. That's 100% real. Yeah. So there's just not enough jobs. So, you know, they get tricked into these bars, and they get stuck there. So you go, "Hey, if you want a way out, this is what we do. It's all free. You just have to come," you know? So anyway, that's a setup. We're doing this bar outreach stuff. I go to this very small bar on the outside of what we call the walking street. That's where like thousands of bars are, hundreds of thousands of girls every night of traffic.
Right, district of that area.
Yeah, exactly. So we go into this small bar. I see this girl on the very side of the stage. And as soon as we walked in, I felt like I heard the Lord say that, you know, "That's who I've sent you for," basically. Yeah. So I talked to the bar mom. I said, "Hey, I want to talk to like number 12 or whatever her number was." And she looks at the girl, looks back at me and says, "Her?" And I said, "Yeah." She says, "Oh, she's a virgin. You'll like that." And I was like, absolutely. Sure. Yeah. So, you know, we call her down, she sits there, she's literally like shaking. She's terrified. Found out she was a virgin. First week working in the bar, she got tricked. A family friend basically said, "Hey, come and be a waitress, help the family out." She gets there, they're like, "Get up on stage," you know, and that's it. She's stuck, you know? So, you know, I'm talking to her, I get her to open up just a little bit. And basically that's just, I'm joking with her. I'm going, "Hey, who's the best dancer here?" Or, you know,
conversation.
You know, yeah, just normal conversation. No Jesus talking to that. So we're talking, I find out that she's a worship leader in her church, which floored me. So I'm like, "I'm a worship leader too." So I pull up pictures of me like leading worship. We start talking about songs we love. She's what's your song that you love to lead? She's like, "I love Oceans." So we start like singing it. Like it's just crazy, you know? So we're having this conversation. And basically at some point in the convo, I just say, "Hey, if you don't want to be here, you can leave with us now." She burst into tears and says, I want to leave now." So like we figured out how to do that. And we walk out of that bar and she's in freedom. She walks out in freedom. Wow. And so the lyrics to the song, what came back and wrote it and is based on her experience, you know, "There's no way out. Love has taken its final bow." That's stage language. And the crazy thing is, you know, they invite me to see kind of the process of kind of orientation. So we're sitting in this hotel room. I'm with her and the Wipe Every Tear staff. And they go, "Sweetie, what's your name?" And she said, "Red." And all of the Filipino staff start crying. And I'm like, "Oh, what's that? You know, what's happened?" They're speaking different language. Like, I'm picking up words here and there. And they basically told me, you know, every time we go out, we ask the Lord to give us names and colors and names of bars and what people are wearing. Just, you know, identify people that you're here to help. Yeah. And they said a year ago, we had a team here and everyone got the word red and we couldn't find her. and now she's home. And so it was this big celebration. And I was praying before we went, and the only name I got was Maria. And so they said, oh, so Red is your nickname, right? Yeah. Well, what's your real name? And it's Maria.
Wow.
And so I'm crying. So there's a line in the song that says, how'd you know my name? And that that's just a reference that. And the cool thing, you know, I'm talking to her now and going, do you understand that God loves you so much that he sent people halfway across the world to specifically find you in this environment to get you out?
Yeah.
And I mean, just the gratitude of someone that literally was in slavery and is in freedom now. It's just,
dude,
I'm hooked, man.
Dude, I love it. And it's just like, it's so refreshing too, because it's really interesting when you, so I've talked about it a lot in this podcast, when you're in ministry in church, especially a big church like Victory or even small churches, like you get into the business of Christ and not the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Like it's just the job, right? And I really believe you lose the ability to really lean into the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, right? Because God uses the Holy Spirit within us to prompt us to do things and to go places and to listen to things and listen to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're so wrapped up in the business and the production and all that stuff, you lose that. And then what's so great about what you did was you went away and it wasn't like you said, oh, I'm the Holy Spirit said I need to go on this missions trip and then I'm going to go here and God's going to just do these amazing things, right? Like, and then
yeah.
The Holy Spirit was like, no, God spoke and used the Holy Spirit and said, no, it's not about you. It's about me. And just wait, and I'm going to show you. And then he did. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love and hate how in these environments, like in the Philippines, in these really hard, dark environments, like you're talking about in the song, right? Like, even death is appealing, right? In these places where you're almost longing to just die so it's done, that's when the Holy Spirit is most able to prompt your heart. But it's so sad to think about that in the States, in churches big and small, in American Christianity, we've lost the real promptings of the Holy Spirit. Not like you can say we can go with super charismatic and it's all about the experience and, or, you know, the difference between that and super reformed. And I go, no, it's like, we've just lost what it really means to be like quiet and still and listen to the Holy Spirit tell you, hey, like, I know that you're not going to like this, but you should go talk to that person. It's going to be random and weird, but you should go talk to that person.
Yep.
You don't like, that's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And,
absolutely.
And I love that you did that, man. And that, like, you, like you said, you were a part of God's salvation story in this woman's, this young girl's life. And your story of this whole song is so captivating because it's dripping with the grace of God shown to his people, right? Like,
yeah, man, it changed my life. And so I go back every year. Actually, I was over in the Philippines when COVID hit and everything started shutting down. Yeah. And I almost got stuck, which is a funny story. But we were actually going back in a couple months for the first time in 2 years. And I'm so pumped. And I was talking one time with the founder of the organization and just trying to understand there's a high. That's the only way I can explain it. There's a high when you're there on the ground.
Yeah.
You're so in tune with the voice of God. You're so reliant on his Spirit. It literally is like a drug.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about it. I was like, what is that feeling and why is it here? And he said, simply, I mean, it's Bible. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Amen.
And it's so dark that the grace of God is just overwhelming and you can't help but just be just overrun with it.
Amen.
And that's that high. And it's like, I chase it. It's amazing.
Well, and it's like what you're, it's honestly what you're saying. When you look, you know, you think about this, like a sunny day, if you're out in the sun and you turn on a flashlight, it's not really going to make a big of a difference, but when it's pitch black, no light near you, you turn on a flashlight, it's huge. It blinds you, right? Like, so it's like this, it's not even like it's like a drug, but it's also, it's the idea of what Christ said. He says the light overcomes the darkness and you yourself are, it's not you being the light, it's Christ's light shining through you. So you yourself are being overcome by it as a vessel. And you're like, well, this is a lot of light. That's just, dude, that's so, like, I just really think it's so frustrating that in so many ways, like, it feels like we got to pull Christians out of America for them to really go, whoa, hold on. Oh man, now it's like, wow, the grace is really more powerful than just like the, I'll pray for you. And, you know, that's, hey, we got this, like, this is great, isn't it? Right. You know, it's, and isn't it like, I love that you went there because like, what was it like when you came back and you know, like, once again, I don't knock production churches because I was a part of one and then I was a part of a smaller one. I've been in all different type of denominations, charismatic, you know, all everything. Mm-hmm. So like, but what was it like coming back? Was there an element of, I feel like we're like, can we just all go? Like, I know we have to do lights. I know we have to do all this stuff and like this slides, but can we just
go? Yeah, there's definitely, man, there's a longing for the simplicity of what the gospel is. For sure. And, you know, you are where you're planted, right? So right. you want to honor that and you want to do the best that you can to reach the people that you've been called to. But yeah, I mean, I'm sick of tracks in music. I I'm almost sick of like click track, you know, to be honest with you. Like I long kind of for that. Like, can we just strip everything away and just focus?
Are you going to write Redman song? When the music fades.
Oh my gosh.
And the clock is stripped away and all the tracks are gone.
Yeah. That's good. That's the updated, right?
Yeah,
that's exactly. The 2022 version. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. But there is a simplicity of who God is in places like the Philippines where they don't have everything that we have.
And they don't do anything either.
Yeah, but and these girls, man, like we get to spend some time in the safe houses with the girls and like have meals with them. And one thing that I realized, like spending more and more time with them, is they love to worship, man. And it's not worship time. It's not worship time. Yeah. They're not like, all right, guys, come on in. We're going to have worship time. It's literally, if there's a lull in the conversation, if there's a 1 second of silence, YouTube is on and they're not just singing along. They're on their knees, their hands are up, and it doesn't matter what the song is. Yep. You know what I mean? Their whole life is based on worshiping God.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they saw him, like they saw the real Jesus, like the one that came in and rescued them and loves them and took them out of slavery. Yeah. And I mean, I can't compete with that.
No, like, you know, we were talking about it before the podcast. So the assistant I had, she was kind of like, she was interning at our church. She was a missionary in Thailand, but she was from the Philippines. And she was so similar. And one of the most beautiful things about her, Maui, if you're listening, was everyone would say it. Like there was, her worship was so genuine. She had an incredible voice, but her worship was always so genuine. And you and I know when you get, there's, you know, those people that get on stage and then like once the music starts, they go, yes. Their hands go up and you're like, stop. All right. Like, just relax. You don't have to do that. But she was, because she had, like, she ministered to bar girls. She saw what it was like. And also as a Filipino, she loves to sing and just worship. Like, it was so genuine. It was refreshing. And that's what I think is so beautiful about your story in the song that you've created. Right. And everything that you're doing with going back is, what you're doing is, it's not just going to refresh your soul. It's going to refresh everyone who goes with them. They're going to change their lives. And then they're going to bring that refreshment back, because it's not going to be about, like you were saying, it's not going to be about, I don't want to do tracks because I disagree with the philosophy of tracks or click. It's, I don't want to do this because, like, I don't want to spend any more time thinking about this than thinking about ministering to the lost.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, at the end of the day, isn't that what you're saying we're supposed to be doing anyway? Isn't that what scripture says? Yeah. It's like God was saying, go. No, go.
Yeah.
You know? So I love that, dude.
Me too, man. I can't.
We need to talk about your song more, like plug your music and all that kind of stuff. No.
It's missions has just been, it's just such a huge part of who I am, man. I'll tell you this quick story. The last time I was over there with the trip. Okay. One of the things that we do sometimes is we invite the girls out of the bars to just go get some food. They're very malnourished most of the time.
Right.
So we'll invite them. There's like a 24-hour McDonald's right there on the walking street. So we'll invite them in just to get them out for a little bit, or maybe even lunch the next day before they go into work, and just buy them some food, have some conversations with them. So we were there, and I'm there with a couple of girls at a table, you know, we're eating French fries or whatever, just chatting. And I look around, and all throughout this McDonald's, and it's packed, are all these tables with our team with other girls. And I sort of just, I sat back in my chair and went, oh my gosh. And I would watch all these other people come in and leave and come in and leave. And I just had this thought, like, we could be here for the next 5 days and it would be a drop in the bucket for how many people need to hear that Jesus loves them in this one area.
Yeah.
And I had this sort of like, if you've ever seen Schindler's List,
yep,
at the end where he's like, you know, here's my ring. We could have done more. You could have done more. And I was just like, there's so much more to do. There's so much of God's love that he wants to reach these people. And there's just not enough time to do it. And that's why I want to go back, man. Like, me and my wife have even talked about, you know, could we split time there at some point?
Yeah.
You know, like, could we have a house there? Like, there's just not enough time to reach them all. And yeah, I want to spend my life trying, you know?
Amen. Dude, there's nothing else to say. It's just amen. Like, it's so beautiful. It's the, in the Philippines and in Thailand, right? Like, there was, in that area in Pattaya, like, thousands and thousands of guys just fly in there. And it's just, it's insane how many. And it's like, you can't, it's like you're saying, it's a drop in the bucket. And it sometimes can even feel overwhelming. You're like, I can't do any, like, I don't have enough time. Like, I literally am going to die before I make any difference. And mm-hmm, the difference, though, like you're saying, is we need more people to be about this rather than like, And it's so interesting. I mean, I was talking with this last guy. We're a part of this Facebook group, and it's all about critiquing Bethel Hillsong Elevation. I'm like trying to be the person that's like, can we just relax, please? But I always go back to this. And it's not necessarily on your level, because I didn't have the experience that you've had, which I love. I love that you have that experience. But it's always just like, why can we just focus on the most important thing, right? Like, I get that there are important things to each person and stuff, but like, can we just focus on the most important thing, which is to be winsome for the gospel and to see lost souls saved and shown that, hey, like, there is a God who created everything and he's good, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you've seen, he's good. And I want you to know him, because I don't want you to live in this world forever.
Yeah.
With, like you're saying, like your song says, I don't want you to live in this world forever without hope. Like, I want you to see, as you say in the course, even here love comes, even here love comes. It's never afraid to step into my grave, though, through darkness and sorrow. That's how far love will go. And that's how far love will go. That's how far love has gone in Christ. And amazing, dude. Seriously. Gosh.
Yeah. It's so easy for us to get into the trap of dissecting and comparing. And I was like the number one critic of everything Christian a few years ago. Yeah. And I would fight you. Yeah. You know, if you brought some cheesy, you know, worship song.
Oh, you're the edgy Todd. That was the picture the picture on the website. Yeah. Which scared me.
Yeah. Edgy. I cared so much about, you know, making it right and good and all these things. And I had this like, the huge revelation one day spending time with the Lord, and basically what he showed me was, it's all preference, Todd. It's all preference. You like the red one, they like the blue one. Doesn't matter which one you pick, just pick one.
Right.
And so there's a few things that I'm willing to argue about, and that's heaven or hell, and that's sin.
Right.
And besides that, man, you like women preachers? Go for it. You don't, then don't do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Then go for it. You want to baptize in Jesus' name only? Then go for it. Like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to argue about if reckless is the right word to describe God or not? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't sing the song then.
Right.
But to argue about it and like to spend any emotional energy talking about that is dumb. It just doesn't matter.
Right, because at the end of the day, like you're saying, what you're about is you're about the gospel being proclaimed, right? You're not about like, okay, let's spend, and it's like you're saying, it's not bad to spend time to do that. If you yourself want to spend time thinking about that and working through that, like, that's fine, but let's not spend time batting each other over the head with it to go,
oh my gosh.
Right, like, if it's a tier one issue, then we can do that. If it's tier two, tier three, right, you're saying, like, then let's just relax. Because at the end of the day, if it's a tier one and we're all in agreement, okay, then let's then remind ourselves what the main goal is, which we keep getting back to, which is to see people saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And so if that means, like, I think it was so funny that you said that her Marie's favorite song was Oceans. Because I know a lot of people would hear that and be like, I can't believe, why couldn't it be Thou My Vision? Look, Be Thou My Vision is my favorite hymn of all time, but I guarantee you, bar girls don't know Be Thou My Vision, right? So, like, you can hate Hillsong all you want, but there's an element that you were able to sing Oceans with her, and that was a connection, and then you're able to share the gospel with her. It's, if you think that the Holy Spirit can only use a certain style of song to save a certain person, then you yourself are putting the Holy Spirit in a box, which, as Scripture says, you don't know how the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah.
Like, you, just the way you don't know how the wind blows, you don't know how the Holy Spirit works. As the Holy Spirit could use Todd McVicker singing Oceans with a bar girl, just like he could use me, and maybe there's a song that I write that's like, let's say it's a little bit more verbose, in quotes, right? He could use that to someone who randomly hears it, right? Like, that's, it doesn't matter. So in the end, like you're saying, just freaking do what God's called you to do, where you're at, and stop looking at the grass in lawns, you know?
It's the religion of it, right? And that's what we love. Like, we want the formula. We want to know what's right and wrong. And, like, we really care about that stuff. And, I mean, the more that I look at the life of Jesus, just the more that I don't see that at all. Like, he was in the gray 95% of the time. And when, I mean, they killed him. You know what I mean? They killed him because he didn't do what they thought that he should do.
All the time. Everything he did was breaking a formula. Which, so then you think to yourself, like, well, then why are we putting a formula? Like, that was my biggest thing. And I'd love to hear what you think about this. And then we'll end the main portion, the not paywall portion, and then we'll go behind the paywall. But, one thing I talked a lot about with a couple worship leaders was, like, how equational we view services now. I got to start with a fast song, got to do this. And I always think, like, Jesus didn't do that. The Holy Spirit didn't say, okay, I'm going to move, but you first have to do Phil Wickham, because he's the one right now writing good fast songs. If you do anyone else, I can't move. Right? Like, he didn't. So then stop putting an equation, because the problem then is, and much to your point, if you put an equation on a service, then you logically have to give people the opportunity to say that your equation's wrong. Because if you put it in a set thing, then someone can say, well, I don't know if that set thing's the right way to do the set thing. But if you really leave it at, no, like, this is, the Holy Spirit just said, do this, and preferentially we're going to do it, we're going to do that, what she's saying, which is to proclaim the gospel in this way, and, you know, but we're not going to only say this is the way, and we're not always going to do this way as the way.
How many times have you done a worship set where it's been on autopilot? Because you don't need, think about this, you can do that because you don't need the Spirit of God to move in order to have a successful worship set. That's crazy, man. And that's, I mean, hundreds of times, I don't know. Because I know the songs. I know how to put a set together. I know the transitions. I know what prayer to pray. I know what language to use. I know it's all automatic because we've been doing it for so long. But what really changes is when you stop for just a second and go, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? What songs do you want to hear sung back to you?
Amen.
What are the people feeling? What are they? I mean, and it's just so simple, but yet, I mean, I would still do it. You know, I would still go out on Sunday with a back pocket set and know it's going to go great.
Right.
But it's that moment where you take just a minute and recognize, God, you are here. You care about this. You want to, you know, you want to live in the praises of your people. Breathe on us, help us, be with us, help us to worship you. And those are the times that I feel are just so impactful for me. And I try to do that, just have that moment with him every time I go out. Not 100%, but, you know, every time you go out.
I get it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay, well, we'll end here for the main portion, and then we'll go behind the paywall just because, obviously, I want to keep talking because you're amazing. So awesome.
All right.
Dude, seriously. So what we'll do is we'll go behind the paywall, but before, so that for the people who aren't members, all right, so Todd McVicker, you can find his new song, Even Here Love Comes. You've got an acoustic version. You've got like a non-acoustic version. It's always weird. What do you call a non-acoustic version? Just like the regular?
The regular.
Right.
By the way, I don't know if we talked about this, but the acoustic version actually has Maria singing on it.
Bro.
That's her. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Is that her in the picture?
Yeah. That's her.
Okay. Don't listen to any other version other than the acoustic version. That's what we just discovered.
Well, the real version has Harvest Bashta singing on it, who is just a beast.
Right.
And her voice is so beautiful. So, I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong.
Well, here you go. So even here, Love Comes. It's on Spotify. It's on all the streaming platforms. You can find Todd McVicker there too. He also wants you to follow Wipe Every Tear organization. And then also, hey, I bet you would just want to take a missions trip to Southeast Asia. Why don't you do that?
Yes.
I bet you Todd would rather you not buy his song, stream it, and share it, and rather just go on a missions trip. I don't want to say 100%, that, but I'm saying it.
100%. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't follow him on Instagram. Don't share his stuff. Just go.
Just go. Absolutely.
This is the worst promotional podcast you've ever done.
I love it.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Todd. Obviously, we're going to keep going, but thank you. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I hope you have a wonderful Lord's Day as you worship together corporately. And I hope you take a missions trip. I hope you really do it. But thank you, guys. See you later.